What's that, the word QR'd, QX'd? What's that word that you scan? QR. Whatever, if you've done that, you will have open in front of you Mark chapter 8. And we're going to read a couple of verses from Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 27, Mark 8, 27. And we read this, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory and with holy angels." Just those verses, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the songs we've sung, Lord, because somebody has thought about those things that glorify you and make you famous and have put them into words and music, Lord, and we can take them and make them our own as we recognize you for who you are. And Lord, we believe you've listened to us and are pleased with what you've heard. Now, Lord, we turn to your word and we want to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would open not only our physical ears, but our spiritual ears as well, to hear what you want to say to us, so that when we leave this place tonight, each one of us will know that we have been spoken to you by none other than the Lord God Almighty. Please speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anointing. It's a word that you hear a lot in church circles. I guess there's a lot of words which you hear in church circles which maybe you don't use outside of church circles, but anointing is one of those words. And when we are anointing somebody, what are we actually doing? Well, I suppose in some circles you actually take a bit of oil and pour it on the person's head. They are literally anointed. But when we talk about it in our context, something else is happening. What we are doing is appointing someone to do a job. When we anoint them, we are simply appointing them to do a job. Now, in the Old Testament, you read often that people were anointed. And mainly there were three types of people who were anointed in the Old Testament. In other words, there were three kinds of people who were appointed to do a job. You had the prophets, they were appointed to do a job. You had the priests, they were appointed to do a job. And then you had the king, who was appointed to do a job. Now, a prophet's job, the job for which he was anointed, the work he was appointed to do was that of revealing God to the people. That's what the prophet did. God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet revealed this message to the people. A prophet was someone who was known as one who let the people know what God was like and what God was saying. A priest's job, the job for which the priest was anointed, was to take the requests of the people and make these requests known to God, whether it was the need for forgiveness or the need for rain or whatever. That was a priest's job, to take the will, to take what the people wanted to God. A priest acted on behalf of the people. A king's job, the job for which he was anointed and to which he was appointed, was that of exercising God's authority on earth. God gave the king authority to act on his behalf. He was to rule as God's representative here on earth. And so you've got prophets, you've got priests, and you've got kings. All were anointed, all were appointed to do a job, making God known, taking our requests to God, and ruling with God's authority. Now, the Old Testament was written in what language? Hebrew. Okay. And of course, there is a Hebrew word for anointed. Who knows what that Hebrew word is? That's how we say it in English, Messiah. It's actually Mashiach. But that's the Hebrew word for anointed, Messiah. Now, seeing we're doing a bit of biblical language studies, let's also look at a bit of Greek, shall we? Because the New Testament was written in Greek. And just like there's a Hebrew word for anointed, there's also a Greek word for anointed. What is that Greek word for anointed? Hey? You've got to speak loud. I'm old and deaf. I still haven't heard you, but is this what you said? No. Okay, well, good thing I didn't hear you to make you feel embarrassed or something like that, eh? It's the word Christos. It's the word Christ. Both those words, Messiah and Christ, Hebrew and Greek, they mean the anointed one. Now, I haven't just given you random information here. I want you to keep that in mind as we carry on looking at our text. Jesus is with his disciples. And for a couple of years now, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. And it's time for Jesus to take what he's teaching his disciples to a new level. And so he asks them a question. He says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, it's always easier to talk about what other people are saying, isn't it? I mean, you sit around your tables and you discuss and you talk about, well, this is what other people think about this. But when you talk about what you think about it, well, that's a little bit different. It's always easier to talk about what other people say. Well, they've got an answer. They say, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Other people say that you're Elijah. And still others say that you're one of the prophets. So it was easy for them to talk about what other people were saying about Jesus as to who Jesus was. Here's a comment I want to make. The most important question anyone can answer is, who do you say Jesus is? The most important question you can answer. Who do people say Jesus is? For some people, Jesus is simply a swear word. And any time you hear the word Jesus on their lips is when they're swearing about something. For some people, Jesus is like a good luck charm. And when they're in a tight spot or they want something, then they will use Jesus' name. You know, we ask for this in Jesus' name. And so they use him as a good luck charm when they want something a little bit extra. For some people, Jesus is like an insurance policy. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself there. They're scared of dying, and they hear, well, you know, if you speak to Jesus, he will help you on the other side. And so it's an insurance policy for when they die. Is that true? Is that all Jesus is? And then you get the people who like the idea of having a stronger big brother to help them. And so when they are asked, who do you say Jesus is? Their answer is, well, for me, I'd like a stronger big brother, and I regard Jesus as my stronger big brother. Or they might like the idea of Jesus being a good friend. They think of him as somebody that I can joke with and mess around with, but when I don't want him around, I can just leave him kind of at home and I can go out and do other kind of stuff. And Jesus is my friend. He's pretty cool with that. And so when they are asked, who do you say Jesus is? Well, the answer, for me, Jesus is my good friend. Because that is who they want Jesus to be. I don't know whether you can start to see that our answer to the question, but what about you, who do you say Jesus is? Well, that answer can depend on what we want. And here's a really scary thing. What we want Jesus to be may not be who Jesus actually is. And so we may think we've got an insurance policy. We may think we've got a bigger older brother. We may think we've got a good friend. And then we get ourselves into a tight spot and we go and use Jesus' name all over the show and we're disappointed because he doesn't just come through for us like that. And we say, well, I thought I had a big brother. I thought I had a friend. And this isn't what I signed up for. Jesus isn't working for me. And we're disappointed. I'm not exaggerating when I say that the most important question can be this. But what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? And that's a question that Jesus asked his disciples. And it's a question that you and I must also answer tonight. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Well, the disciples have an answer. They said, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And because of our early conversation, we know what it means when they speak about him as being the Messiah, the Anointed One. They are declaring something like this. They are saying, Jesus, you are the only one who can reveal God to us, who can tell us what God is like, because you are like a prophet. And Jesus, you are the only one who can take what we need to God, because you are like a priest. And we say something like this, Jesus, you are the only one who rules here on earth with the authority of God. When they say you are the Messiah, that's what they are saying. In short, you are the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And because we've said you're the Messiah, with all that that means, when we come to you, we don't come saying, well, I wish you were like that, and I hope you were like that. We come and say, you are Lord, and we come to you on your terms. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And so Jesus goes on and he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to be a follower of me, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? In other words, do you want to be part of God's family? That means, do you want to know that all the stuff that you have done, of which you are ashamed, which you kind of want to keep hidden in a little box because you don't want anybody to know about it? Do you want to know that all the stuff that you have done, which you know God would not be happy with? Do you want to know, to really know that because Jesus is Messiah, our prophet, our priest, that all that stuff is wiped out, gone? Do you want to know that? Do you want to be his disciple? Do you want to become part of God's plan where everything we do can be part of bringing God's kingdom here to earth? I mean, in the Lord's Prayer we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We get to be part of that. We get to be part of the exciting work of making God's kingdom real here on earth. I mean, how cool is that? To be part of this revolution of God here on earth. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Sorry. Now, when we hear those words, we immediately think the worst. Deny myself, take up my cross, we think the worst. And I can understand why. You see, when Jesus took up his cross, it resulted in a cruel death for him. And so when we read that we must deny ourselves, which means taking up an instrument of death, we immediately think we're going to end up like Jesus. Horrible, horrible life. What does it mean to take up your cross and to deny yourself? Well, it means this. It means saying, Lord, I give my life to you. It means saying, Lord, I let go of, I am dying to my plans and my ambitions. I'd rather embrace your plans and your ambitions. I'm willing to die to my plans and ambitions. It means saying something like this, Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, here's my life. You take it. It means that what is important to Jesus now becomes important to me. And yes, it may involve pain and suffering. It may. But think about it. Even if we don't give our lives to Jesus, we're going to experience pain and suffering in this world. But at least if we've given our lives to Jesus and have become part of God's plan for world revolution, if we do suffer, it will be for an exciting and a worthwhile cause. That's what it means when we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, I deny myself, I take up my cross, and I follow you. Now here's another strange thought that I want us to explore. Why do we think that if we give our lives fully to Jesus, why do we think that he's immediately going to set out to make our lives miserable? Why do we think that? Here's an illustration. I'm a father. I have a son and a daughter. I want you to picture the scene. They come to me and they say, Dad, we really love you and we want to please you. Dad, we know that you are wiser than we are. So Dad, we're going to follow you. We're going to do everything that you ask us to do without arguing. Now, I know, particularly if you're a teenager, that maybe seems a bit off, but work with me, will you? Now, I'm a human father. How do you think I'm going to respond to my son and my daughter? How do you think I'm going to respond? Them using different language, they've just committed themselves to me in the way Jesus wants us to commit ourselves to him. They've in effect says, Dad, we're going to deny ourselves. We're no longer going to do what pleases us, but we want to now do what pleases you. That's what they've said, which is what Jesus says, deny yourself, take up my cross and follow me. Now, as a human father, if my children came and said that to me, how do you think I'm going to respond? Do you think I'm going to rub my hands in glee and think of all the worst stuff I can give them to do because now I have my chance to make their life miserable? Do you think I'm going to do that? I mean, even if you don't really know me, you can't believe that as a human father I will do that. Of course I won't do that. What I will do in response to that, I'm going to put my best plans in place for them. Because I'm going to want to see them prosper. I'm going to want to see them grow as people. Yes, it may involve them in struggles. I may ask them to do things they don't understand. But my motivation will always be for their good and for the good of the family. I will want to see them grow as people. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Do you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Is that your vision of Jesus? And do you want the benefits of being part of his family? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. You know what? The growth of the kingdom of God would be unstoppable if we had this unstoppable vision of who Jesus is, the Messiah. Do you know that? Do you know that the growth of the kingdom would be unstoppable if we would be willing to love and trust Jesus enough to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him? Unstoppable. If we would trust him enough to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." And so my question tonight is, will you embrace that vision and commit yourself to following Jesus tonight? Maybe you've never responded to Jesus before. Tonight is the night. Maybe you have responded to him, but you've grown a bit cold. Well, tonight is the night to say, "Lord, I want to recommit myself to you." Will you do that? Let's spend a few moments in silence just before we go to our questions. Let's just spend some moment in silence.